sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio just a few minutes from now. The Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Good enough to bring up some pickles for us last week. Still have a few left in the refrigerator. Not many. I went through the bread and butter ones pretty quickly. Bob Buehner, big fan of the garlic. Bob Buehner's wife, not a big fan of the garlic. I think he slept on the couch last Friday night. So make a stop to the beverage supermarket, and then you'll get ready for all this weekend's festivities. The Bucknell Bison will play this weekend. It'll be a 4:30 start here on the Soika. Looks like it will be a great game for the Bison, and a game that will also be, I understand, at 4:30 on CBS Sports. Of course, you can hear Doug Birdsong on one of our sister stations, Eagle 107, coming up on the weekend as well. We'll give you more details about that a little bit later. Talk a little spring training baseball today, and Ken Cherto coming up. He will be again talking about we had him on a couple of weeks ago when the Olympics decided to recommend the removal of wrestling. And now we're going to have him on again talking about reinstating wrestling. So all that's coming up today on the Steve Jones Show. And don't forget Shikellamy Abington Heights coming up tonight on WKOK and WKOK.com. I'll be joining the Chief Dave Ritchie up at Lackawanna College. I have not left yet. We are 24 minutes. Actually, I'm sorry. I'd be 18 minutes now away from leaving.
I just MapQuested. It takes 3 hours and 18 minutes and 12 seconds to get there.
Maybe the way you drive.
And that's with traffic.
You know what happened?
With traffic.
You do remember what happened last year. I left the show early to get to Allentown because the Braves were playing Allentown Central Catholic, and we got into a traffic jam between Mifflinburg and the Cunningham exits on Interstate 80. Bob Buehner in the house tells me that road is clear now.
Clear sailing all the way to Wilkes-Barre. From there, I have a dog sled team meeting you on the side of the road, and we'll get you all the way to your dinner spot.
That's great.
I think the chief is going to be picking that out.
He usually does. Yeah, he usually gets first red refusal.
I've always associated
TCAB, because the UF five-star restaurant has something called the Whopper.
Exactly. I am very, very easy to satisfy.
That would be known as pedestrian taste. They use a big word. Whereas the chief is a connoisseur.
He's something, but I don't know what. How was your flight, Mr. Jones? Did you get back in time, and did you get rested up from the big win last night?
I got back at 1 this morning. Let's see. One this morning. Got back over here about 1:15, 1:20. Did the Inside Penn State Athletics show. Finished up at 2 o'clock, went to sleep. Got up at 5.
Ugh.
Was back at work at 5:30.
Well, was there practice today or lifting today?
No.
Oh, well, it was Friday.
They're just doing light stuff today.
Oh, okay.
Walk through cold bath. And they've got Wisconsin, 22nd ranked Wisconsin.
Walk through what?
Walk through cold bath.
Cold bath.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're trying to regenerate muscle.
So literally, like what I've seen in the movies is true. They sit in iced bath.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
You couldn't pay me enough to do that.
It's regeneration.
Yeah. That's another word for it.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, a lot of research has gone into this. They've put a lot of research in to figure out how to get athletes to recover after they're done. This is part of it. If you are, for example, running the Doral Golf Tournament, at the moment you are doing cartwheels.
Tiger's still in the lead?
It's far more Okay, again, once again, full answer that I have come to expect. All right.
So you're saying there's more to it that Tiger's not just in the lead.
Tiger's in the lead at 9-under. Phil Mickelson is one shot back at 8-under.
And
Graham McDowell, former McIlroy is not even a part of the mix.
Well, no, he's at the dentist
Graham
office.
McDowell, yeah. But you have Tiger Woods, Graham McDowell, Phil Mickelson, Steve Stricker, Justin Rose, and Dustin Johnson, and Bubba Watson. Those top six separated by two shots. It is a dream leaderboard with 14 major championships, four major championships, a U.S. Open champ, a Masters champ. They're sitting back. They're doing cartwheels. This is like, I mean, television ratings out the you-know-what this weekend based on this. I mean, it'll blow away any Indy car race.
It's the U.S. Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what? No golfer should be named Bubba. That's just not a PGA golfer name.
I thought Bubba was on NASCAR.
That's okay. That's okay. Race driver should be named Dario. So
you're not going to get an argument from me. Yeah, Bubba just doesn't work. Hey, Bubba won the tournament. Just doesn't work.
Look, you got to be able to, you know, he relates to the common man. See, and you represent on this show the common man. So you should be able to relate to him. He's your kind of guy.
So you're saying my name should be Bubba?
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, and also we have the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury's Key, Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, and Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Seals Grove, Routes 11 to 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. And the Kevin Herr portion of the program is brought to you by TomTom. All right.
Garmin.
Hey, you know, last week, those wonderful people at Brewers Outlet and the Pickle Bar brought us incredible array and variety of pickles for our afternoon consumption.
Well, I mentioned that. I said that you really liked the garlic. The problem was your wife didn't.
No, I was, I didn't sleep indoors last Friday night. But, you know, I will plug them again. We took a sample home, and they were just great all week. Those guys over at Brewers Outlet, they know how to do the pickles.
And time now for Above the Noise. We bring in Sir Dan of Patrick.
Patrick, and this is...
Her cousin. Hey, everybody, Bob and Weave. Yeah, you there on Interstate 80.
Please don't Bob and Weave there.
No, that's okay. Do all you want.
No.
Especially in the eastbound lanes.
Yeah, don't Bob and Weave right now, all right? Just get
the
through
eastbound
the area.
Lanes. Just in the eastbound lanes.
No.
Her thinks it's going to take him 8 hours to get there tonight. I don't know.
David, what happened the last time we went on a long road trip about a year ago?
Oh, we had a little bit of a delay.
There you go.
Yeah, but we made good time on the Turnpike extension, all right, Northeast extension, all right. We really flew there, so you could.
So
you
how did, late you, were you?
It was close. It really was. You know, it takes us a while to get set up, but we did it. Kevin did a good job there.
Well, the other thing was, if you remember right, we didn't have a spot to get set up.
Yeah.
So in other words, you were there and on the air ready to go at the designated time.
Hey, listen, I've learned a long time ago with Kevin that he can fret and he can worry, but when 7:06 rolls around, we are usually on the air.
Game time,
right?
Baby.
Yeah, when push comes to shove, he gets it done.
Usually. Yep. Yes.
Usually.
We're usually ready at 7:06. Pewter!
Hey, Steve, I'm just wondering for the Kevin and for Dave, what's the forecast for the Shikellamy-Abington Heights game? What are the keys for the winner for the Braves?
Well, the forecast looks good. It's going to be about 44 degrees for the trip up with sunny skies.
Kevin, are you going to answer that question?
What was the question? I'm sorry. I was getting a traffic update.
Well, listen, Abington Heights is not at number one or number two in the Channel 16 poll for nothing. They've got four kids that score in double figures. They've got a really solid center, and they have a guard that a lot of Division I teams are looking at. They can get scoring from all over.
What,
What
kind of a nightmare is it from a coaching point of view when you face a balanced team where you can't zero in on a one and a two option?
Well, actually, it probably makes it easier for you because now you just have to go with your basic defenses that you had before. There's not going to be any gimmicks because if you try to overcompensate for one person, somebody else is going to get you. And so, you try to look. I know they looked at a lot of. I usually want to use the word tape, but they looked at a lot of digital, and they try to get something that's going to cut down. Giving them open shots. I would much rather be going in and playing Abington Heights than playing somebody I knew, to be honest with you, because they don't know us either. And so, you might find out that you're a little better than you thought you were guarding a good team like that, or you might find that they might miss something that you do that might help keep you in that ball game.
I always have a theory about these games, Dave, all the time. That when you face, you are so well scattered within your own conference or league that when you get out of your own conference or league, there are spots open on the floor that have not been open for 2 months.
Yeah, Steve DeLong did a terrific job last week. Their kids played fantastic. The Milton boys in the first quarter, they really out-hustled our kids, but they also took away our outside shooting. And got our and he knew that we couldn't handle their big guy. We really had a difficult time with him, and he used both of those. He took away our outside shooting, and he went inside, and it worked very effectively. And I thought we were coming back. We tied the game up in the beginning of the fourth quarter, and then things kind of fell apart again. But you're right. Mm-hmm. If you watch or play somebody two or three times, and you get all kinds of film on them. It's sometimes a little harder to play against a team like that than, say, an Abington Heights who has not seen us.
And also, you mentioned coming back and tying Milton. It is imperative when you are coming back on a team that at some point you must get the lead.
Yeah.
Getting all the way back within one or two or tying and then they stretch it out again, psychologically a team gets damaged by that. You have to somehow psychologically break through and go in front.
Yeah, even 1 point,
yes.
I think there was a delay in play at that point after we tied up, or else our Milton called timeout, and boy, it was a good timeout because it kind of stopped our momentum, and I agree with you. We kind of came out flat, and boy, Milton took advantage of it.
And of course, Milton played Scranton Prep.
Right, they have Scranton Prep. Kevin, are you emotionally ready for tonight's game, or is the travel part have you all?
No. Once we get through the travel part, I'll be okay. We did get word though that there is, and I am not joking about this. There is a traffic backup right now. It is southbound on Route 11 near the Route 11-15 interchange. So if you're heading in that direction, southbound 11 or 15. In the Shamokin Dam area, you will have a backup. Chief's a little relieved right now because we're headed the other direction.
Hey, Kevin, do you know what is in Scranton tomorrow morning?
The parade, the St. Patrick's Day parade.
100,000 Irish or wannabe Irish, and I'm sure most of them are going to get there tonight, so we might have some trouble there, too.
Oh, great.
Wear green.
That's it.
Chief, have a good time.
Thank you.
Kevy O'Hur, good job.
I'll talk to you later.
Enjoy the parade, Kevy O'Hur.
We may still be there for it.
Well, I'd go to Brewer's Outlet first and join the crowd. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. News is next, then Ken Shurto.
Calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, we may have changed the cast of characters, but I am feeling much better about where we're going.
Oh, you're in very, very average hands right now, buddy. How are you?
My good friend Mark Lawrence, host of OTM. Great to have you on board, Mark.
It's great to be here. I know what to do when I'm on the other side of the glass over here. All I know is there's a lot of lights and a couple bells and a whistle, and I have no idea what they do, but... This one says, turn Steve on. This one says, turn on Mr. Buhner.
And I'm here.
Buhner!
I'm here with the pickle bar is calling me.
I don't blame you. Well, we're going to spend a little time talking wrestling here for a moment. Bring into the Sunbury Motors studio on Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11-15, Hummel's Wharf, Ken Shurto. And, Ken, so far, they've just through donations, more than $1 million has been raised in the cause of trying to get wrestling to survive the cut and be in the 2020 Olympics.
Yeah, it's awesome. The wrestling community has really stepped to the plate. Over $1 million has been raised in the past couple weeks through direct donations, as well as some pledges from people that are going to put it forward. And they're going to work really hard to politic the international governing body. Basically, our leadership internationally fell asleep at the wheel. Even domestically here, USA Wrestling could have done better. And there's a lot of lobbying that needs to be done. It's a shame that that's the situation. It's sad. But the IOC likes to be schmoozed, if you will. And the international wrestling community had not done that and kind of frowned upon it. And this was kind of the IOC executive committee's way of saying, hey, you guys need to do what we tell you. It's really just 15 people that got in a room. It's not the whole International Olympic Committee. It's 15 high-level board members, though, and they decided that they're going to make a wake-up call to the sport of wrestling. I'm looking to turn it into a positive. And in addition to keeping wrestling Olympics, I mean, we need to create a more exciting sport, promote it better, get people more in tune, not just to the X's and O's of wrestling, which is typical wrestling coach talk, but to actually embrace our sport and try to create more aggressive wrestling, more exciting wrestling, more risk-taking, and right. Just create a more enjoyable sport.
Well, see, that's what and I'll take a completely different sport for you, and that is the NBA. The NBA changed its game dramatically by putting more offense into it, and the NFL's put more offense into it. Sports that put more offense into their game are getting results out of their game in terms of interest. How important is that part of it, the aggressive offensive part of wrestling that needs to be appreciated?
I think it's important. I don't think it's the core of this particular issue. I do appreciate the NFL and the NBA and the exciting things they brought in the 80s and the diversification they brought to their game over the recent decades.
But
I can relate to
more scoring in. Okay, absolutely. People want to see scoring.
Yeah.
All right? So in wrestling, you can score. You know, there are ways to do it.
I think they're just going to tweak that a little bit and create more exciting rules. The coaches need to preach more action. There's too much conservatism. At the high levels of wrestling, the athletes are so great and so powerful, it's hard to score on them. But we need to create rules that are going to reward the offensive wrestler. And that's part of the mission that's been a committee to raise money and to lobby the International Olympic Committee, but also to update the rules to make it a little bit more exciting internationally. I think college wrestling's relatively exciting.
Yes, it is.
And high school wrestling, you and I have done that together.
Yes.
Sometimes that's more exciting than college because there's more flopping around and flying. At the elite level internationally, there's so much scouting and there's just a lot of caution. So I'm excited to see the changes that will take place.
What changes do you advocate internationally to put more hack into the game?
Well, the way FILA works is they take care of the rules. So I recommend more rewarding for scoring. I mean, if you're going to create offense, if you're going to take risk, reward that. I mean, give more points for the guy that's taking the chances as opposed to rewarding the guy that just sits back and scores at the end of a period.
All right. The next part is, what can the average fan do? You have on your website, you have a lot of talking points that people can discuss about this. But what can they do in the lobby besides the money part of it?
Well, I think the first step is to get on the webpage and follow what's going on and educate, you know, what's up. And it's, the money is a key part of it, but they could write letters. We haven't assigned who they're going to go to yet. I mean, as far as the actual public getting engaged beyond the scope of making small donations to the Keep Wrestling Fund and the Keep Olympic Wrestling Fund, right now the public can just watch and stay up to tune. That's why I'm here to tell you to keep an eye on it. The IOC has not pulled the plug on wrestling. There's just a committee that's recommended that it not be kept in the game 7 years from now. So we have, you know, a few months to work on this and get her straight.
Well, what they've done is they've put wrestling, they've taken it out of the automatic for 2020. It's in 2016. But in 2020, okay, they're in the pool with seven other sports to be considered for the 26th. That's where they are right now.
That's correct. And in May, there's going to be a presentation. Two of the leaders on the committee are guys I was in the Olympics with, Jim and Bill Shear. One, Jim Shear, was the head of the U.S. Olympic Committee. So we've got a good leader in position. The international guys dropped the ball. Some of our leaders, I mean, really in wrestling, once you're done wrestling, you get on with your life, you go into business, you do whatever you're going to do. And a lot of our leaders are coming back to the forefront and trying to get into the international governing body. And we're going to make a presentation in May to the IOC and to try to get wrestling back into the Olympics for 2020.
Okay, so now, okay, when you've talked to those within your community, and it's also important to get the casual fan engaged, and that's one of the reasons you're here and you do this.
to get them engaged, what would that mean? Because the diehards will be there, but if you can get a groundswell, what can that mean?
Well, if once we decide who we're going to communicate with, whether it be the IOC president or the IOC committee or what it is, I mean, there's just millions of people in the wrestling community that are going to communicate and let it be known and let their voice be heard. Right now, it's just, I mean, my main message is, hey, wrestling's not being dropped. It's been recommended by a small group of people for 7 years from now. And right now, we're taking action. We're raising money. We're getting organized. The coalition that's been formed is about 20 leaders, and they've laid out a game plan. They've documented it. Like you said, you can go through my webpage and get the details if you're interested in the minutia. But the bottom line is action's being taken. And like I said 10 minutes ago, I feel like our leadership, and I'm not involved in that part of the leadership, but they felt our paid leaders at USA Wrestling, the International
Committee.
They
assumed it was going to be in there, and they didn't even have a worry about it.
That pretty much sums it up, and they should have. There was yellow flags sent along the way by the international just to spruce up the sport as far as rules and different types of subtleties, and they didn't respond.
Didn't respond to it. And the oddity is you're talking about a venue that's sold out, so they probably get comfortable with that. You're talking about qualifying tournaments that weeded down to 71 names being involved, so they probably felt comfortable with that. And they were sleeping the switch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I was in the Olympics, there was over 100 countries involved. And like you said, the International Olympic Committee asked us to take action in the past decade. We went from 10 weights to 7 weights, both for freestyle and Greco. They reduced the women's weights, too. So we made some reductions. We thought we made them happy. Apparently, they want more. But they haven't said, you know, what's baff politics of it? They haven't told us what they want. They haven't told us what's wrong exactly, really at all. And they haven't told us what they want. So right now is a research thing and getting through the politics of it. And we're investing time and money into getting this solid and straightened out. You know, on a local level, you know, although wrestling's booming in many spots, like Penn State, for example, we coaches locally, the 600 plus high school coaches, need to work hard to promote this, put fans in the seats and get kids out for the team. You know, we too can't fall asleep at the wheel. You know, you can't assume people are going to show up. We have to promote the sport. We have to get students to the events. Yeah. I mean, it's when I say we, I mean high school coaches, youth coaches across our state. Mm-hmm. And we in Pennsylvania are spoiled. We have quite a good culture of wrestling. But there's many pockets that need, you know, a good shot in the arm. And coaches have to keep working hard to get kids out for wrestling and to get fans in the seats.
And we just went through the Northeast Regionals, the Northwest Regionals in Altoona and so forth. We're now up to the PIAAs. The excitement of that and in this movement forward – to send a message, what can the PIAAs mean? Because you'll have a lot of wrestling fans in one area at one time.
Yeah, that's an awesome event. I'm going to be there promoting this effort to keep wrestling Olympics and having people get on the webpage and basically get on the mailing list. That's one thing I would ask people to do is get on the mailing list so you can keep up to speed. But the PIAAs is an amazing event. I mean, they fill it two times over. Double A sells out and Triple A sells out in the Giant Center.
Right.
So the wrestling population in Pennsylvania is going to be there. We're going to work to educate them and get them up to speed on what's going on. And, you know, there's going to be multiple future Olympians in that arena. I mean, a lot's at stake. Pennsylvania has great wrestling, and those kids, they are the 2020s. The Zane Rutherfords are the future. Zane's a senior, the top senior in Pennsylvania. He's coming to
District
Penn State.
Four, yep.
Yeah, and he's going to be there, and he's going to have a chance to make 2016, but really his best time when he'll be in his physical prime is 2020.
Yeah, here's the problem. And you talk about that in terms of dreams. You and I know at the Olympic level, it usually is an older, more experienced wrestler. So it takes time. Like 2020 would be his time, probably, just in maturation, correct?
Absolutely. It's the ideal time, although you got to hope guys will make it younger. Like David Taylor, Quentin Wright, Ed Root, they all tried out for the Olympic team last year. They had a fighting chance, but it didn't quite happen for them. I like to think it will happen for Zane in 3 years. For me, it happened while I was at Penn State.
Sure.
It was the exception rather than the rule. But, yeah, usually you're more mature, usually 25 to 28 is the average age.
And that's why this is a long-term proposition that you're looking at. You're thinking of those who are at that age now and those who are in junior high now because they'd be the ones looking at 20. It's not just 2020. You're looking at 2024, 28, 32. You're looking long-term, and that's the big picture of this.
Absolutely. I'm fighting for my students. I'm fighting for the kids that I train. I mean, I run the gold medal training camp. We're looking for, of course, local gold medals, state championship gold medals, but you got to live the dream, the Olympic dream. It's only a few people are going to get there and have a chance to do that, but it is the dream a lot of these kids pursue. It's good motivation for young people. It's exciting. I mean, hey, wrestling's going to survive no matter what happens, the Olympic wrestling, but it's certainly something that's worthy of a fight to keep going. And in the wrestling community, we're fighters. We're not going to roll over for some bunch of International Olympic Committee, you know, socialists.
Look, you've got you have kids out here about to start Little League baseball season. Every one of them thinks they're going to play for the Pirates, the Cardinals, or whatever.
MLB, okay? Baby.
Okay, but the same thing with a young wrestler. Their goal is to get to that is the ultimate goal is the Olympic Games. That's their goal in life.
It's one of them. College wrestling's huge too, though. I mean, especially here in the backyard with Penn State, we could have our boys living the dream and going to Penn State in the future. So we'll be okay. But yeah, the Olympics is the next step up. It's the I guess the analog is to Major League Baseball, what have you. And the point
here's, and it's on my part. We have seen a real change in the last, I want to say 8 years, 9 years, maybe long, maybe a dozen years, where the Far East, and we know who the major force is in the Far East, I think that they're trying to use sports the way the Eastern Bloc, and of course you wrestled life in the Eastern Bloc time, where they wanted to use sports as a vehicle to promote culture and society. Okay, and I think that's one of the forces that wrestling's up against here. That organization is so important because they're going to be organized to put in a multi-metal sport that fits what they do.
Are you going to the wushu topic again?
Well, it's more than that.
I'm not sure where you're going.
It could be wushu. It could be karate. It could be a variety of things. But you're talking about something that gets multiple medals. I don't want you to discount that is a powerful lobby of Eastern Rim.
Yeah, you know, after you educated me on wushu the last time we conversed, I got on the webpage and researched it. Yeah. It's crazy. It's like a rhythmic gymnastics kind of, except with knives and swords. Yeah. you taught me something new, Steve.
But karate is also one of the other eight sports as well. These are multiple medal opportunities, which is what they want to pad the medal count. That's why lobby that can't be discounted. I don't care what sport they pick, but in terms of what they're promoting.
Yeah, China's definitely a strong lobby.
And they're not going to be getting medals in wrestling.
Well, they could. They're actually on the brink of great success. And Japan and Korea, as well as North Korea.
Japan's always been good.
Yeah, those Far East countries are good. Specifically China, though. Yeah, I mean, they want as many martial arts as possible. Frankly, so do I. I'm all for it. Yeah. Let's have a bunch of martial arts.
I don't care Ken, if they went to 35 sports and they all got in. I could care less. I just don't want sports cut, and I don't cut.
Right. You're obviously preaching to the choir, and the politics of international sports is very, very tricky. Fortunately, I think the pluses are better than the negatives. You mentioned the Far East, but really, when you talk about the Russia and the former Russian republics, coupled with Iran and Turkey and Bulgaria, all those Eastern European blocs, really the biggest problem, I think, more than the Far East is the Western European bloc. They don't appreciate and value wrestling. It's not really part of their culture. They don't understand it. I mean, it's just not a popular sport in that small group of Western European countries, and a lot of the IOC is made up of some of those Western European country leaders.
The Bulgarian hunger strike.
Yeah, that guy's a piece of work.
I guess he'll do enough to make sure he's well enough to participate. But
he's put on a few pounds since his Olympic gold medal, so he has a few to lose. But whatever it takes to bring attention to our quest. Yeah, it does. It brings national, international media attention to what's going on. I gotta think the media really ran with this reclamation. I mean, it's good and bad. I mean, the bad is that there's almost been an overreaction to the dropping of wrestling, but the good is that people care. Right. I mean, people are like, you gotta be kidding me. Even people that don't know anything about wrestling, their gut reaction is, I thought that was one of the purest sports. What are they doing?
What about the reaction of the United States Olympic Committee? I don't mean just, you know, obviously FILA and what they have to do. What about the U.S. Olympic Committee?
I feel
like
they've been a little bit too softball and dropping it all on USA Wrestling. I mean, the U.S. Olympic Committee's got before judo and other sports in our country, so that they haven't really come out strongly and made a statement that I haven't seen or heard it. Right. They're throwing it on our USA Wrestling. They're saying, hey, the ball's in your court. You got to run with it. And, hey, generally, I think the USA Wrestling leadership is good. But in this case, they definitely got lulled into it, as we talked about, and were too complacent. And they entrusted our international governing leadership called FILA to do it, and they didn't.
Well, Let's remember which country throws the most media dollars into it when it comes to the TV contract.
Get Rodman out there.
Yeah, that was a joke yesterday. Stephanopoulos, he was ready to go at it. You know, it's just crazy there, and that you threw me off with Rodman. But the TV,
threw the North Koreans off too. Like, what? Really?
Yeah. But like, as far as TV goes, TV's kind of really pulled. I love the swimming and gymnastics and all that stuff, but they really put wrestling by the wayside. They've decided, hey, we're going to put all the pretty little girls and the young people on television and get away from the guy crowd. I mean, pretty much the guys will watch anything in the Olympics. They'll watch the Olympics.
But in prime time, it's figure skating for the Winter Olympics. You'll see that in Soika next year. Figure skating in prime time every step of the way. Gymnastics, especially women's gymnastics in prime time, they get some Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah, we need some wrestlers to get on NBC and start taking a leadership role there. And yeah, I'm trying to get in there too. I'd love to do the Olympics, but right now they're definitely putting wrestling on late at night. That doesn't help the cause either.
The fact that Kale has been so adamant about it, and Kale's a soft-spoken guy, but having him be as adamant about this, what has at least that meant to have that heavyweight voice?
Well, absolutely. We want every heavyweight in the country getting after it and speaking up and talking out. I mean, Kale's very engrossed in what he's doing with Penn State wrestling, you know, and he's said specifically, he's not the leader to take the role. We need to rely on USA Wrestling, but the fact that all other, you know, coaches are speaking out is good, and that's what we need.
Where's your next camp, by the way?
My next camp every weekend, practically, but this weekend's a big one. We have a traditional one the Sunday after the high school state tournament. A lot of guys right after the states, it's the committed guys that want to get right back to it, and we meet Sunday right after PIAA's this Sunday, so we get to it and most every weekend, and then all summer long.
It's always great seeing you.
You too. Thanks for having me in the studio.
Kenny, thanks. All right. Ken Cherto with us in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street at Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Up next, take a break. Next half hour, by the way, baseball. Tommy McCarthy, Phillies. Steve Blass, voice of the Pirates, will take you down to Florida. All coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the Central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Lawrence doing the bob and weave.
He's just jiving in the broadcast central.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Dave Ritchie, eyes closed, passenger seat.
Scared out of his mind on Interstate 80 about now, heading north. Not yet to Interstate 81, at least that's the road report from the state police. So but Dave, I hope they make it alive.
Dave has a set of special goggles that he wears that only allows his bifocal to be utilized. He puts them on. They look like the big sunglasses that people wear that go around all the way around the sides of your eyes, but his are all completely smoke dark, so he can't see where they're going, and I guess that helps him to avoid nausea.
Steve, just love that interview with Ken Cherto. He's an amazing fellow.
Very much so. Mark, you were checking out his website, and he has something going all the time, including his camp coming up this weekend, and they're looking to get as many PIAA champions around them as possible.
And, Stephen, we have a break maybe in the final 30 minutes. I can give you the rundown of the District 4 AA
good
fellas that are in the semifinals. It is an incredibly impressive list. When you hear the records of our fellows from Milton and Muncie and Mifflinburg, Lewisburg, it's just amazing. And they're all alive, ready to go tonight to make it into the finals. So we're ready for that.
No, that's great. We're looking forward to that. Now, next half hour, Tommy McCarthy, play-by-play voice of the Phillies, Steve Blass, analyst for the Pittsburgh Pirates, will take in spring training since the temperature is skyrocketing into the 40s.
Oh, boy.
And into the 50s this weekend. We're going to start thinking a little bit of baseball. Meanwhile, it is our understanding from the state police that Dave is hanging on. The poor guy. I mean, I don't know what we're paying him, but just the travel part of it.
Oh. Do they have a company car? That's my big concern for the station.
Yeah, there's a
look, if you're Sunbury Broadcasting, are you giving Kevin Herr a company car? I mean, really?
Just give him mileage and.
They got him a car called an
Buner,
Edge.
There's. I'll tell you right now,
edge.
I wouldn't even let. I wouldn't insure that kid in the Yugo. All right. My goodness. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket.
News,
baseball
weather,
at the top of the hour.
CBS.